Hey friends, welcome back. I'm your host, Melissa Stewart, and you're listening to episode number 43. You may have noticed I took a bit of a hiatus for the last 2 weeks. To be honest with you, I had reached a point where I was feeling really low. With everything going on in the world, it's just all been so much to handle. And I had a couple of weeks where I really didn't want to think about anything at all and just bury myself on the couch. I hope that you understand when you feel like this. Of course, it's not okay to abandon your job and your family or your life, but it is okay to use your energy to get through the things that must be done in order to survive. And give yourself grace on everything else when you need to. We often feel like a hot mess when we don't use every bit of our time to be doing constantly. But let me tell you, I know that we need rest and self-care. And if self-care looks to you like taking some time to just retreat, that's what you need to do. When we tap into that intuitiveness, that voice that says, hey, it's time to slow down and chill, we need to listen to it. Which leads me to today's incredible episode. Today, I get to talk to Martina Barnes, super intuitive and life fulfillment coach. She discusses with me incredible experiences of her intuition being activated and how it's led to her current business and clients. Her stories are riveting and fascinating. I hope you'll take this time to get acquainted with your own intuition and maybe even think back on times that yours was trying to show up and show out in your life. Did you listen? Did you ignore it? How'd that turn out? Let's dive in. You're listening to the Live with Audacity podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Stewart. Audacity is defined by Merriam-Webster as intrepid boldness or disregard for normal constraints. And that's exactly what we have here. The Live with Audacity podcast is aimed at giving you the courage to explore your someday dreams, do things your way, and start making things happen in your life right now. I'm a mama to four kiddos ranging from college student to kindergartner, wife to a high school football and track coach, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. Together with my guests, we're going to teach you how to live with audacity and intentionality, discover and utilize your unique skills and talents, and step into who you are meant to be in order to make your someday dreams a reality. Are you ready? Here we go. Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning back into the Live with Audacity podcast. Today's episode is just like the last and really exciting. Today I get to speak with Martina Barnes, and she is all about reliable personal power. Martina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Melissa. I am delighted and excited to be here today.
I am really excited to talk to you because I was reading through your information and it seems like we each have a similar message, but tell us a little bit about what reliable personal power is.
I would love to. I will start by saying that I feel as if having reliable personal power has been a lifelong journey for me. And I see reliable personal power as something that comes from within us. We all have an internal compass. It's not always easy to read that compass. And yet, if we learn to pay attention and follow the intuition, the intuitional prompts that come within us, and begin to truly rest in our heart and follow that guidance, we can experience power in every area of our life, and not just power, but power that we can depend on. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And it's so interesting that you immediately jumped into intuition and listening to your intuition, because that's something that is really valuable to me and I try to educate on. So tell us a little bit more about that and how we know when we're living with our reliable personal power.
I would love to. So I want to start by saying that I was raised in a medical family, and we didn't have any type of spirituality or religion guiding us. We had the scientific method. And both my mother and father were very compassionate, giving individuals who worked in healthcare. And yet there was never any talk about other realms. And I was a highly sensitive child who didn't know how to process all the information that I got around me on a daily basis. And I was constantly in a state of confusion because I didn't know how to separate another person's emotional experience from my own emotional experience. And in my early 20s, I started to meditate, and I began meditating because I was having horrible migraine headaches. And I had some extraordinary experiences occur through meditation that began to open up my intuition, my channels of power that come from another place than simply the rational mind. And our mind can really inhibit our ability to tune into our intuition, which is this deep, still knowing inside of us that comes from our most authentic, truest self. And we get these prompts on a daily basis. Hopefully we're facing a situation and we may get a gut feeling or an instinct or a woman's intuition about the situation or how to handle the situation. And we then are faced with a choice of, do we listen to the mind that might be telling us contradictory information, or do we listen to our heart and to our intuition? And if we have a situation that's difficult and we question whether or not we should proceed, and our intuition says no, if we override that, then we may find ourselves in a situation where we lose our power. If, on the other hand, we go with our intuition, even if the mind might be disagreeing with us, our intuition will lead us on a clear path and give us very clear information about how to handle a situation. I know I just said a mouthful. I just want to pause for a moment and let that sink in and see what questions you might have.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that it's really valuable is a word I use a lot, but also powerful to understand that we have that obviously that intuition, but also a lot of times, you know, when we do try to listen to our intuition, the outside world or our friends or our family tell us, well, what are you doing? That doesn't even make sense. Clearly, we can see from the information at hand that this is the right course of action to take. But when you can really dive into your intuition and you really start to learn to trust your intuition and your gut, oh man, it just opens up so much for you. And you really do start to, air quote, live with audacity, because then you're really starting to rely on you and your feelings and your gut and your intuition to make the decisions that are right for you. And you really start to ignore what other people think are the right answers for you. How do you feel about that?
I feel as if you are just singing my song. I agree. Beautiful music to my ears. I agree with everything that you are sharing right here, that intuition is coming from that deep place, that inner compass that may not jive with what family or friends or society tells us. So it takes a tremendous amount of courage to have faith in your intuition and to act on your intuition. And what I find is that we are rewarded in so many beautiful ways when we follow our intuition. And yet it does take a great deal of courage to be able to rely on that inner truth. And I'm thinking about when I was around 30, I had a fabulous woman who was, a healer and really an instrumental spiritual teacher in my life. And I would often come to her when I was faced with a difficult situation, and my gut, my instinct, or my intuition told me what was the right path for me. And yet I would be scared to follow it. So one time Carol said to me, "Martina, when we're faced with a difficult situation, we can either follow the personality and the ego and that solution, which is often feels like maybe the easy way out, or if we go with our intuition and our soul, we will always be given a greater gift than the personality or the ego self can provide for us." And I'm wondering if you've had that experience as well, Melissa.
Here's my experience is that when I don't listen to my intuition and I go either by my heart or by my brain, I feel like eventually God or the universe says, "My goodness, girl, you did not listen the first time. So now I'm going to have to take some massive action and change your life so that you finally get it." And that's been my experience. And it can be really hard to listen to it. Like I said, just because logically, like you said, it just sometimes the decisions that we feel like we're called to make no sense at all. And you're like, it's just like someone quitting a job where they make great money, but they're unhappy, but their intuition is pulling them to something else. Most people look at them and say, "Wow, what an idiot. Why would you give that up? You know, why would you give up so much?" Right? But yeah, when we start to listen to our intuition, the sky really is the limit. Tell me about how you got into this and where it really started from. I know you mentioned when you were a child that you were feeling all these things and having a hard time with it, but how did you dive into this particular niche of helping people?
I love your question, Melissa. Thank you. I studied at a women's college in California. I was raised in Los Angeles, and then I went to school in the San Francisco area. I was at a women's college called Mills, and I was studying economics because that is what my father believed I should study. And He had big hopes of me, right? He had big hopes of me going on to get my MBA, my master's in business administration, and then we would build companies together, etc. And I wanted my father's love and approval so much because it never seemed to come as a child. So I decided, yes, economics is the way to go. And in my senior year, maybe a little before that, I started having some extraordinary experiences that I would love to share if that's okay.
Yes, please. I actually was going to ask. So I'm glad you brought that up.
So I'm going to share two of my favorite. As I mentioned, I started to meditate. It was actually a type of exercise called autogenic relaxation, where you start at your feet and you say, "My right foot is heavy and warm. My right foot is heavy and warm. My right foot is heavy and warm. I am at peace." So I did this three times a day. It really helped me manage my migraines, and it helped me cope with the pain when they came on, because back in the day, we didn't have good medications for migraines. So one day I came in from class into the lobby of my dorm, greeted the receptionist. I looked around her shoulder to look at my mail slot to see if I had any notes, and there were no notes. So I went upstairs to do my relaxation. I put on some beautiful piano music, and I had this profound experience of being released from my body and floating with the notes of the music. It was exquisite. It was extraordinary. And during this time, this vision came to me of a pink envelope that was being inserted to the mail slot downstairs. This really caught my attention because I was just grooving to the piano music when this vision came. I was so curious that I stopped my meditation. I ran downstairs. I looked in the mail slot again, and lo and behold, what did I see, Miss Melissa? I saw a pink envelope.
Oh my gosh.
It was so amazing. And I said to the receptionist, Audrey, was that pink envelope there when I walked in? She said, no, one of the students just dropped it off for you. So I opened the envelope. It was a really mundane message from my advisor saying, oh, Martina, we don't need you to tutor economics today. You don't have any students. And it just stopped me dead in my tracks. And I thought, this is so exciting. And yet this is really scary because there was no way for my logical, rational, scientific method mind to wrap around this experience. Well, it didn't stop there. These experiences began to happen more and more frequently, but some of them were scary. And I would know something about a person. Maybe I could sit next to a person at the bus stop and start to pick up on really dark thoughts they were having, really dark thoughts of anger or what have you. So I really began to think that I was going crazy.
I did not want
to see a psychiatrist because I thought, they're going to lock me away in the Looney Tune.
Put me on medicine and get rid of this.
Exactly. They're going to put me on medicine, maybe some antipsychotic medicine to stop these visions. And I thought, no way am I going to go that route. So I went to my roommate, Diana. I told her what was happening. She was very open-minded. She got a big grin on her face and she said, you are having the most amazing experiences. I said, yes. And they're scaring the crap out of me. And she said, okay, we're going to get you help. I said, well, how are we going to get me help? And she said, I don't know, but we'll get you help. So the very next day I was on the porch at the dorm. I had my Walkman on. I don't know if you're old enough to know what a Walkman is.
Yes, definitely.
I was listening to tunes. It was a beautiful spring day. I'm dancing around. Diana comes in and says, the most extraordinary thing happened. I think we have help for you. I said, really? Tell me about it. Well, she had gone to interview to do a housekeeping job for a woman. And while she was being interviewed, the woman's 2-year-old daughter kept coming up to my friend Diana and tapping her knee, saying, Tina, Tina, Tina. And Diana said to the woman, how does your daughter know my best friend's name? How does she even know I have a best friend named Tina? And only my friends and family called me Tina. Everybody else called me Martina. And the woman said, my daughter is really intuitive and we encourage that in this household. Isn't that extraordinary? What?
That's wild.
So wild. So the woman went on to say that, you know, there's a spiritual sanctuary that teaches meditation and teaches people how to be in control of their intuitive abilities. And maybe you and your friend Tina would like to go get like a Reiki healing there, a hands-on healing. And actually, it wasn't a hands-on healing. I'm misremembering that. But it was a healing where they didn't touch us. So they balanced out our quote-unquote energy around our body. And when Diana told me this, I said, there is no way I'm going to go to this place because either they're going to hook up electrodes to me and find out that I'm not intuitive, that I'm crazy, and then they're going to send me again right to the mental hospital, or they're going to find out I am highly intuitive and I'm going to be like that movie Audrey Rose, where every time I get angry, you know, a chair goes flying through the room or something like that. And I did go on to have a healing there. I did go on to study meditation. I went on to become their head meditation teacher and intuitive development. Yes, I did this for 7 years. And I walked away from a Fortune 500 job company that I had in sales in order to pursue this. And my family and my friends thought I had lost my mind initially.
Oh my gosh. It's so crazy that that was the example that I gave. And here you are telling me that that's exactly what you did.
Oh, so yes. And you also said something a few minutes ago about how God / the universe seems to kind of need to whack us on the head strongly if we don't get a lesson once.
Yeah.
And I think because I came from such a scientifically bound medical family and I had a very strong mind, like look at everything rationally, and yet I was very emotional at the same time. But I think that the universe needed to do a lot of intervention when I was young in my early 20s by metaphorically taking giant sledgehammers to like whack them over my head, because how else could the universe / God get through to me? Because my mind was so, and my ego was so barricaded. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that as I started listening more and more to my intuition and letting it guide me, acting on it, then the universe didn't have to give me such radical messages or such dramatic examples to wake me up. Over time, this just became a way of life that I could let that intuition guide me. And I began to trust that it was leading me on a soul path that I was meant to be on. I wasn't meant to be an economist. I wasn't meant to be a businesswoman, even though I'm good at it. I was meant to help people from my heart. And that ultimately led me to graduate school, where I studied psychology. From there, I went to work at hospice, because from the time I was young, I was very aware of death. My best friend, named Lori Lapata, who is now deceased, was born with cystic fibrosis. And at the time, the mortality rate was age 4. But we lived near the UCLA Medical Center, and she got all of the most up-to-date medical treatments. She lived to be 30 or 31 years old.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing? And of course, now the mortality rate is so much higher with the advancement in medicine. And so I think because I was so aware of death from a young age, it really guided me. I ended up at hospice, and the universe decided not to just give me cases of people to counsel who had had a spouse die or a parent die. I was given cases of people who had traumatic losses, like there had been a suicide, there had been a murder, there had been a horrible accident, and a child died. And after a year or so, I said to hospice, if you want me to continue in this role, you have to give me trauma recovery training. So they paid for me to go learn.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing? I was just
so cool.
So grateful to them that they paid for my training. So when I ultimately left hospice to go into private practice on my own, I became a trauma recovery specialist, and I did that for 20 years. And then my father was given a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, and he lived in San Antonio at the time. He was a brilliant, world-renowned brain surgeon, given this very sad diagnosis. And he came to live with me. I brought him to live with me for a couple of years. And when he died, I took 2 months off from counseling others. And I became very quiet and very still again. And I asked for guidance from Spirit. And Spirit said, it is time for you to work with women to help them come into their reliable personal power. Because in that time that I cared for my father, who was a very externally powerful man, I began to see myself differently. I began to successfully challenge these old beliefs that told me, like, I wasn't enough, or I was too much, or I wasn't worthy of love. There was something wrong with me. And that's when I developed a system. Or I wouldn't say that's when I developed it. It's when I honed and refined a system to work with women. And women who are high achievers and are accomplished in many areas of their life, and yet they struggle in, say, one or two areas, and they need help. So this is my great joy. This is my long, winding story.
Yeah. How did that here? But I think it's valuable to point out, though, that our life is a long and winding road, and we're always being moved to the next thing. And just because we, you know, might be at a point where, you know, we're living our purpose right now, that doesn't mean that our purpose can't change in the future. And also doesn't mean that if we are not living our purpose right now, that we can't figure that out and get back on that path to our purpose. I wanted to ask, during your trauma recovery training, is that when you really started to dig down into those things of that love and approval from your dad and feeling unworthy of love and things like that to heal yourself from that? Or was it just like talks with your dad while he was sick? Like, how did you work that out?
Oh, thank you for asking that question. It's such a great question. And I would say both. When I began training as a trauma recovery therapist, I realized that being a sensitive woman who also had what I now understand as complex PTSD. My parents were divorced, and my mother was a brilliant woman. She was also, in my opinion, an alcoholic, and there was a lot of chaos in her household. And then 3.5 months of the year, we lived with my father, and he handled his anxiety through being a rageaholic. And so this exposure to the alcoholism and the rage over time created a very complex set of trauma variables within inside of me. And it wasn't until I began to recognize my own trauma and the old beliefs that I carried from that trauma that I began to heal. I found a therapist who was very well educated in trauma. She helped me understand that there was nothing wrong with me. There was something wrong with the environment, the family environment that I grew up in. And I want to be clear, not to blame my parents here. I love my parents. They both are deceased now. They both did the very, very best job that they could. It's just that they were not available to me to attune to me emotionally and meet my needs. And this is really what a child needs. So I went on this journey for about 8 years of healing my own personal trauma with a therapist, but also in that role of being a trauma therapist, I had to continually look at my own trauma and bring that to Spirit and be very, very honest with myself. So that really helped my healing journey, and I began to feel more and more confident, more and more courageous. And my father invited me on a trip to Italy when he turned 81 years old. And he gave me full reins. He said, I want you to plan this entire trip, which was very unlike him because he was really masterful at being a control freak.
Okay.
And so at any rate, we went on this trip together and he began to see how competent I am. He began to see how alike I am to him. And he slowly started to value me. This was the missing piece for me because I kept choosing emotionally unavailable men up until that point. And isn't that interesting? Because
it is.
Yeah. And it's really because I didn't have that approval from my father. I didn't have that recognition of who I was. But on this trip to Italy together, he started to see me in my competence. And he also had all of these questions about my intuitive abilities. So over the course of several years, we had endless conversations that healed my heart. And really, it was really the missing piece to my identity as a powerful woman. He helped me when he gave me that love and approval. I really could throw away those old scripts once and for all. And it was incredibly liberating. And I have really just a eternal gratitude to my father for seeing me. And even if you don't get to have that experience of healing with your parent in the way that I did, it doesn't mean you can't have that healing. Does that make sense? Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. So are there any tips that you would give someone who doesn't have the opportunity to get that from their parent or maybe an ex-husband or something like that, ex-wife too, obviously for anyone listening, but anyone that has been in their past that they don't have the opportunity or there's that wall up where the communication just isn't possible? Do you have any tips for them to help them deal with that?
I do. I'm going through my cache of exercises and tips in my head as you ask that question. And I find one of the most helpful things to do is to journal. Or if you don't journal, you could just take a piece of paper and begin to write down all of these beliefs about yourself that are limiting. Maybe some of those beliefs are what I spoke of earlier, that there's something wrong with me, or I'm not enough, or I'm too much, or I'm not worthy of love. To start to list down all of those beliefs that seem very, very believable to us. They feel like the truth because they got hardwired in our brain when we were children. So then on the other, right? You sound like you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, girl, I do know. I know exactly what you mean. And I think that's the thing is I think most people do know, right? Like we all have stuff that we've been through or overcome or dealt with that has solidified these stories in our head. And when we tell them to ourselves, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, that's so logical. That's so perfectly logical to believe that. But like you were saying, when you realize it's not because your parents wanted to hurt you or they wanted to put you through this stuff, it's that they didn't have the tools and the emotional equipment, I guess, to handle their own stuff. That's really powerful, but go ahead. I'm sorry. Yes. On the other side of our journal.
Thank you so much for chiming in on this and really validating what I believe maybe many, if not most of your audience members have experienced. And we all carry what I call belief burdens or emotional burdens. And that's on the left side of the ledger of your journal. And then on the right side, you do counter positive statements and you list the opposite, which could be, I am worthy and I am enough and I am lovable and it's safe to be myself. So that's the first step that I think you can do on your own. And then I like to play a game that comes out of Gestalt therapy where you change seats, you go to a different seat. Let's say I want to have a conversation with my father or my ex-husband, and I imagine that they are sitting in that seat across from me, and I start to tell them all the ways in which they have impacted me. And then I imagine that me as the adult self can talk to this young aspect of me that holds these old beliefs. And I start to lovingly say to them, here is the truth. This is the truth of the matter. It was never your fault. You never did anything wrong. You are lovable. And I do this as many times as it takes. And it sounds like a very simple exercise, and yet it's a profound exercise and sometimes not easy to do. And so what I recommend folks imagine is that they are talking to someone whom they love, someone whom they admire. It doesn't even have to be somebody that they know, someone they admire and respect, and that they are communicating with that person they admire and respect. And sometimes if we put ourselves in the third person, then it's easier for us to give love and acceptance and release judgment. Does that make sense? Or I wonder if I lost anyone on that one.
No, I think it makes total sense. Yeah, for sure. I wanted to ask, earlier we were talking about, I don't remember the exact example because I didn't write it down. But we were just talking about how you grew up very science-based and factual-based. But then the older that you got, you realized how powerful your mind is.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people are really terrified to dive into that and learn about that. Tell us a little bit about how you not only learned that, but became really like okay with that and thought, well, this is probably something I need to dive a little bit more into, and how you reconciled that with your, only science is the way.
Yes. Thank you for those are great questions. And I will start by saying I didn't do it alone. And I've been so fortunate that I have had beautiful, strong mentors in my life. The most significant mentors, I'm thinking of three women, have all been like twice my age. And they have been that loving parent for me. And I would encourage your listeners, if they can, to find a mentor. It could be through church. It could be through the YMCA. It could be through somebody you know in the neighborhood. And begin to build a relationship with someone who has more wisdom and life experience than you do. That would be my first recommendation. If you have trauma that's unresolved, I would encourage you to seek the help of a trauma recovery therapist. If you've done a great deal of healing and you're ready to take the power to the next level, then find a fabulous coach like yourself, Melissa. And if you don't have access to that, then find that friend. Hopefully you have a friend in your life who is non-judgmental, who accepts you and loves you for who you are, and share some of your darkness with them, share some of your shame with them. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Brené Brown talks a great deal about this, is we have to find the people that are worthy of hearing our stories of shame so that we can bring them to the light, because shame has its power by keeping things in the dark. And I really do believe that shame is an evolutionary function to help us remain part of the tribe or to remain part of the herd.
And yeah,
right. But for those of us who have had a lot of rejection or didn't have parents who could really see who we are and mirror to us who we are, we developed shame as a default. And so this is one of the first steps, is we need to bring the shame to light. And it is really scary and it feels shameful. Who wants to share their shame? It's like this dark, icky blob of, you know, like, it's really, really scary. And I want
really
to,
scary.
Right? It's so scary. And I just want to reassure individuals that when you have the courage to share your shame with the right people, the people that you can trust, this is how we release the shame. And this is how we begin to feel the truth, which is that we are all lovable. We were all born lovable. And all we have to do to deserve love is to be, is to actually be who we are. So,
yes.
Right?
Yes. So embrace that authenticity.
Embrace it audaciously. And I just want to say, be courageous. And this is such a cliche, and I'm going to say it anyway. The truth really will set you free. And the universe, spirit, it has this safety net for you. And if you have the courage to step up to that cliff and you're scared to take that leap, just know that there is a net there for you. There is a path that you can't see. Do you remember, Melissa, in the movie, I think it was the first movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark? Did you see that movie?
I did not, no.
Okay, I've got to tell you this fabulous scene, which is along the lines of what we're talking about. So Harrison Ford was this kind of square professor who goes on this mission to retrieve the...
I am so silly. Yes, of course I've seen that. Yes, of course I've seen that. My son is named after Harrison Ford. Of course I've seen all the Indiana Jones movies.
Oh, I love that. So I think it was in the first movie that Harrison Ford is being chased by the bad guys, and they really corner him. Like he's on a mountainside on this tiny little path, and he's at a cliff, and there's a big gap. There's like a big chasm between one side of the mountain and the other side of the mountain. And he knows that if the bad guys catch him, he's going to die. He also knows if he takes a leap and there's nothing to walk on, he's also going to die. And as fate would have it, he kind of scuttled, his boots scuttle, and some dirt is thrown off the cliff. And all of a sudden he sees an invisible bridge. I think it's golden, this invisible golden bridge. And he takes a handful of dirt and he throws it outward in front of him, and it reveals the bridge. And he races across it. And of course, we know he survives because there's a lot of other Indiana Jones movies, right? And I often think...
Spoiler alert, that. Everybody.
Spoiler alert. And this is what I think of for myself, and what I encourage my clients to do is, look, be brave and throw a little of your dirt, your inner dirt, out there to somebody that you trust. And that bridge, that golden bridge, is going to appear for you. And this has happened for me over and over and over again, enough to know that I'm never really alone, that there is a greater force that is holding me. So I'm not sure if I answered all of your questions there, but...
Absolutely. No, you did it perfectly. 100%.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us how we can work with you, because I love every single thing that you've said today. And I feel like you are so perfectly eloquent and can put into words everything that I've ever felt in my whole life.
Oh, this is beautiful.
Tell us how we can work with you if we feel called to do that.
Thank you for asking. There are several ways and simple ways to get started. So if folks come to martinabarnes.com, and it's Barnes with an E in it, like Barnes and Noble.
Got it. And I'll, of course, put it in the show notes.
Awesome. So you can go on there and give me your email address, and you will get a link welcoming you to Reliable Personal Power. And you can take a fun, short, 10-question quiz on how you're doing with your reliable personal power in your relationships. You can also follow me, Martina Kitty Barnes. Go to Martina Kitty Barnes on Facebook. And I am doing a 4-week meditation series, 30 minutes on Fridays. And they are meditations I'm going to lead you in that are going to help you access your intuition and your reliable personal power, which is something that all of us need right now. We're recording this during the time of sheltering in place with the coronavirus. So Actually it's tomorrow. I'm not sure when we air, but April the 10th is when the 4-week class starts. And you can, as I said, just go to my Facebook. If you can't be there, it's going to be 12:15 Eastern Standard Time for 30 minutes. I will keep it up on my page and you can go and listen to it again. I think you will find that these simple meditations can really be transformative. And the other way that you can work with me is one-on-one. I have a 3-month program where we design together the areas in your life that you are desiring to bring more personal, reliable power to. And then we do some deep dives and we go down to the roots. As we say in the South, we say roots. I was raised saying roots, like roots of a tree. They say roots here.
We do not say roots in Texas.
Oh my goodness. We also say things like, well, just go on yonder. I reckon that there's a gas station down yonder, right?
We totally say that.
I love it. So I've been working with folks for, let me think, I've been working with folks for over 30 years. And I will hold you lovingly in a very safe way and carry you across your journey over the course of several months. So those are some ways you can dip a little toe in, or you can jump in to the warm waters of exploration. Have you ever gone to, I don't know why this image came up, I guess because you're in Texas. Have you ever gone to Barton Springs in Austin?
Oh, yes.
Right? So it's so awesome. Isn't it an awesome place to be? So I just thought about, look, when you dive into those deep waters, you just come out refreshed and you come out ready to take on the world in a new way.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. When it's hard when you get started and it can be painful, but when you come out on the other side, oh, it's so freeing. And so you literally feel refreshed and cleansed. And it's fantastic. I wanted to ask one last question before we dive into the rapid fire. But do you feel like everyone has a little bit of intuition, or do you feel like only certain people have it? What's your view on that?
I love your question, Melissa. And I suspect we may be of similar minds. I don't know how you see this. I believe that we are all born with intuition. We are all born with a special signature stamp on us that says, hey, I'm Melissa, or hey, I'm Martina. And it's a blueprint. And when we have access to that blueprint, things start to unfold in our life in a way that makes a lot of sense. So I just want to reassure everyone who's listening that you all have a blueprint. You all have a unique stamp. You all were born with intuition, and you absolutely can learn to get still enough and quiet enough to access it. It's really it is like a living water of spring, like a spring that just is always flowing. It's always there for you.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, and you're right. We are totally right there. I'm doing that, you know, my eyes looking at your eyes thing. Yeah, yes. We're totally right there.
Awesome.
Okay. I am so happy I got to have you on here today. It's been exhilarating for me, at least, and I know that other people are going to get so much out of this. Let's do a quick rapid fire. What's a book, article, person, or talk that's changed your life?
Oh, I love that question. Seat of the Soul by Gary Zukav, Zukav. He takes these very complex teachings on intuition and developing your sixth sense, and he puts it in language that is so accessible. The book's been around, I'm thinking, for maybe 30 years. It's called The Seat of the Soul.
I love that. And writing it down, it's so crazy. All of my guests always have, you know, typically when you see in Facebook groups like, oh, what book are you reading right now? Most people have a lot of the same books that they're reading. But it seems like every single time I ask this question on a podcast that everybody has a different answer. And I just always love the answer. So I'm like, oh, guys, I'm getting so much shelf esteem over here.
Oh, that's so fabulous.
Okay. What is your favorite Friday night at home?
Oh, my favorite Friday night at home is sitting on the bed with my boyfriend, George, and his dog, Tilly, and my dog, Seamus. It's very cozy because we don't have that big of a bed. And we love to watch Netflix and eat popcorn. I know that sounds really maybe mundane, but it's just so cozy. And we've been doing lots of Netflix lately, as I imagine lots of folks are doing as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. My daughter got into this place where she was like, Mom, can we watch a movie? Can we watch a movie? But it wasn't because she really wanted to sit with me and watch a movie. She just wanted to make popcorn.
Well, you know, it's a great excuse to make popcorn, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So, she's silly. What was your dream job as a kid?
My dream job, this is going to be funny. My dream job as a kid was bagging groceries at the grocery store. I have no idea. I know, right? But this is what's hilarious too, is that, so I'm thinking of my father, who was this, you know, world renowned, accomplished neurosurgeon. His dream was to be a garbage man who rode on the back of a garbage truck. And I find it fascinating that he had this, you know, in a way, mundane job. For me, I wanted to bag groceries. And I think that it has something to do with my mind and how I like to organize things and how I like to, right? Like how things can go together. Like, hey, let's put all the boxes together. Let's put all the cold food together. So
it's like Tetris.
Yes, it is. It is like Tetris. And you know, when it first became available that we could do self-checkout, I was thrilled.
Me too.
We have that in common. I love that, Melissa. I love that.
Bagging doesn't really do it for me, but putting groceries on the conveyor belt in groups and making them organized and look pretty is totally my thing.
I love that. You know what? I think it is. I think that's the full picture. You've just completed my fantasy.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I love it. I've never told anybody that. That's so hilarious.
I love you shared that.
What's the next vacation that you're planning?
The next vacation that I'm planning. So I hatched a plan.
Anywhere but your house, right?
Anywhere but my house. Well, we will see what happens because I have a ticket for August 1st to go to Copenhagen for 3 weeks. Never been to Copenhagen.
Oh, so cool.
And I'm a huge fan of bicycling. In fact, I teach spin class at the YMCA. And
so cool.
It's so much fun. So my dream has been to spend 3 or 4 weeks in a European city, a different one each summer, to work from that city and only get around on my bicycle. And I hear Copenhagen is going to suit my needs quite well. And who knows if with the coronavirus, if I'll be able to take that trip August 1st. But if not, it will be at a later date, but it will happen.
I love it. I love that you are so committed to making sure that you get to do that. And so funny, when I was a kid, bike riding was my favorite thing in the whole world. And I still love doing it with my kids.
I love that.
It's so fun. But I've never taken a spin class. So maybe I should do that.
Let me tell you, if you want a really good workout and with some great music, go take a spin class. And I have to say, listening to you and listening to our similarities, I really think, Melissa, that we're sisters from another mister.
I think so too. That's so funny that you said that, because you're not going to think I'm crazy, but other people might think I'm crazy. I have this app. It's called, I don't remember which one it was. I think it was CoStar.
Okay.
And it said I was going to, actually it may have been the pattern. Either way, one of them said, that I was going to meet someone, in the next several months that's going to be, pivotal in my life and things like that. And then when I saw your website and it has hearts, which hearts is my symbol, I was like, and then we talked a little bit more and more and more, and I'm like, she might be the one.
Well, that's so exciting. And I love that you saw the heart that I put on there. And one of the reasons I did that is because I really believe that our intuition comes from our heart. And that if we live from our heart, we live from a really whole place. And I love this expression that comes out of Chinese acupuncture, which is allow your mind to rest in your heart. So you can have the mind rest in your heart, and the mind is here to serve us. The heart is here to lead.
I love that so much. Okay. Tell our listeners your best advice to live with audacity.
Oh, okay. So it's going to come back to what I said earlier. To live with audacity is be courageous. Be courageous. Take risks. And I don't mean, big, wild financial risks. I mean, take the risk of listening to that small, still voice inside of you. Just take little baby ones at first, little baby risks, little baby steps, and you're going to build more and more faith and confidence in that courage. And I just have every faith in the world that you all are going to rock it.
Yes, I totally agree. It's a little bit difficult at first to say, okay, I got to listen to my intuition, but the more that you do it, the easier it gets. And it's so much fun because you're just kind of hanging out, waiting for the next message, like, okay, where are we headed?
Well,
and it's really cool.
And you know what's also neat? I'll share a quick story that when I found out that you wanted to have me on your podcast, I just took a moment to tune in intuitively. And what came up for me was I just knew I wanted to share my spiritual path, and I knew nothing about you. This came up for me and I said, that's it. And then I went and I looked at your website and I got so much validation. So I'm so excited. It's really a two-way street.
Yeah. Oh man, you're making me cry. I totally feel that too. So incredible. I really feel like we could just sit here and talk all day about the synchronicities and all the amazing things. This was so much fun for me. I am so blessed that I got to have you on and we got to make this connection. It means so much to me. Thank you so much.
I feel exactly the same way, sister from another mister, and I'm so grateful, and I had so much fun, and I appreciate so much you shining your beautiful bright light into our world.
Hey y'all, I had to jump in here real quick because I need a favor. If you are loving the Live with Audacity podcast, I need you to do me a big solid favor and share it with your friends, share it on social media, and go to the Apple iTunes link and click subscribe, rate it, review it. I need to know your feedback, and I want to keep putting this out for you, so I really need your help to get the message out. Thank you so, so much for your loyalty and your super kind and sweet words. They mean so terribly much to me.